listen to.
Yeah, I love voice. فنجرة ذهبية.
إيه في عربي في الراديو هين بالسيارة في شيكاغو.
طوت إلى الزمن الجميل، زمان العمالقة والفن الحق.
ألو.
أيوة الحق يا مرا. بقولوا عربي بالراديو، بيحكوا عربي.
مين هذول اللي بيحكوا عربي؟
هون بالراديو بيحكوا عربي على يا هلا. بقولوا اسمهم يا هلا وهون في شيكاغو.
أنت وين هالكيت؟
أنا بالسيارة مروح من الشغل في ميشيغان أفينيو جنب الميلينيوم بارك هذا. بالسيارة وما بفتح على الراديو إلا بسمعهم بيحكوا عربي. اسمهم يا هلا من 1450 من شيكاغو.
يا حج من وين بده يجي الراديو العربي؟ في أمريكا وفي شيكاغو وعلى الأي أم ومن السيارة كمان. والله زودتها.
إيش يعني بتقول إني خرفنيت؟ والله يا هلا 1450 من شيكاغو وعلى الأي أم هيني بسمعهم بالسيارة ومش مصدقتيني. خذي اسمعي.
يا هلا بالضيف ضيف الله أحسب الروح. أي والله يا هلا بالضيف ضيف الله أحسب الروح. أي والله ما نرضى تروح من عنا، ما نرضى تروح. لا والله ما نرضى تروح. لا والله ما نرضى تروح. لا والله ما نرضى تروح. لا والله
Now you are listening to Talk of the Town. Talk of the Town with Ray Hanania. Talk of the Town brought to you by LifeRun Medical Alert Systems.
And welcome to Top of the Talk of the Town. I'm Ray Hanania, and it's Friday at 4 p.m. It's August 29th. Our telephone number is 708-321-1313. Our producer is Khalid, and if you want to chirp in and share your opinion, we want to hear it, so call us. 708-321-1313, extension 1. Talk of the Town is brought to you by LifeRun Medical Alert Systems, the best emergency system for seniors and people in healthcare need that is available today. You get information at 1-800-421-3366. We're broadcast live every Friday at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time in Chicago on WCEV 1450 AM radio, and also live at the same time, 4 p.m. on yahalavoice.com. Which broadcasts 24/7 every day. It's phenomenal. You can listen to it any place you go. You can also go to our website at thearabdailynews.com to find the podcast of every show that we do here at Yahala Voice at Talk of the Town Radio. And it's also available on iTunes. You can download our program there. Make sure to friend us on Facebook so you can keep up with all the topics. This week we're going to be talking with Aaron Henry of the Baptist World Alliance. He's a spokesperson talking about the plight of Christians in Iraq. So we'll have him on the phone here in a few minutes. Some of the other topics we're going to talk about, I don't know if you saw British Prime Minister David Cameron's speech today, where he increased the terrorism alert in Britain to one of its highest levels, claiming, which got me yelling at the TV, and I yell at the TV a lot, you know, lately, because the TV is filled with stupid people. It is the boob tube, very stupid. British Prime Minister David Cameron is saying that terrorism today in Iraq and Syria and in the Middle East has nothing to do with what Bush and Tony Blair did in Iraq in 2003. I say that's not true. I say that they destroyed Iraq. They jumbled it up. They completely messed it up and created an environment because they were looting it for Halliburton and for Blackwater, these mercenaries. They were taking everything they can. Now, I'm not defending Saddam Hussein. He was a tyrant. But believe me, what they did in 2003 had nothing to do with terrorism, had nothing to do with weapons of mass destruction, and had absolutely nothing to do with helping the people of Iraq. And today it's a mess because of what they did in 2003. And I think we can blame Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld too. ISNA is coming to Detroit. And the anti-Muslim extremists there are going berserk about it, claiming ISNA is a terrorist group. That's ridiculous hysteria, of course. ISNA is a phenomenal organization. They do a great job of fighting for the rights of Muslims around the world. The FBI, though, declared that Detroit has the largest concentration of terrorists. Well, who are they? I mean, it's funny how the FBI can say that, oh, there are all these terrorists in Detroit, but they can't tell us who those terrorists are. What is that? You know, that's kind of bullying, I think, and it's stupid. If they're terrorists, there, go arrest them. But my feeling is there are a lot of people with political views that some people don't like, and they may be angry about the war crimes in Gaza and stuff like that. But terrorists in Detroit, the largest concentration? Come on. It's ridiculous. Actually, Detroit has the highest concentration of fanatic extremists who hate Muslims and who hate Christian Arabs. And anyone who's a moderate in their beliefs. They destroyed the Arab Fest there 2 years ago. I think they're bullies. And a Chicago man was arrested today for threatening police in Chicago and flying a flag of ISIL or ISIS, depending on what you want to call it. It's a black flag. The flag has a Tawheed written across the top, and in a circle below it says in Arabic, Muhammad is the messenger of God. The words are kind of backwards on the flag. They're not written really well. It looks like it was hand-painted with crayons on a black piece of material in white paint. They also have a coat of arms. You know, ISIL's big on symbolism. They have a coat of arms which reads, the Islamic State in Iraq and the Levant, Shem, one flag and one nation. So those are some of the topics we're going to be talking about. Next week we have Naomi Shahab Nye, the Palestinian author and poet. She was born in Ferguson, Missouri, just outside of St. Louis. Her father was a close friend of mine. He was a Palestinian journalist with the Dallas Morning News. Aziz Shahab, he's a good guy, passed away a while ago. I think it was 2007. I can't remember. But we're going to talk with her next Friday about some of her new books. One of her books, a great hit, was called Habibi, one of my favorite words. And that's what my mom used to call me. But right now, I want to say hello to Aaron Henry, who is with the Baptist World Alliance. And they have raised, so far, $20,000 to assist Christians who have been displaced inside Iraq. And I think it's phenomenal that somebody is focusing on the Christians, because there are a lot of organizations that are raising money. And I think it's great. The Muslim community really comes together. You know, they have zakat and they have all these efforts to help Muslims that are in trouble. And I think it's good that Christians, I think they need to become more active. So it's good to see the Baptist World Alliance do something for the Christians in Iraq. Aaron, how are you? Thank you for joining us this afternoon.
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. Aaron, tell us about what is the Baptist World Alliance and why is it compelled to help Christians inside Iraq?
Well, the Baptist World Alliance is the international umbrella organization for Baptists. We are comprised of member organizations in 121 countries and territories, and currently it's 231 member organizations. And we have Christians all over the globe, Baptist Christians all over the globe, and we have Baptists in the Middle East as well, including Iraq. So we give assistance not just to Christians, not just to Baptists, but whoever is in need.
You help whoever needs it. A lot of Muslim groups do that too, by the way. A lot of Muslim organizations, you know, they do raise money and they help everybody. But still, as a Christian, it makes me feel good that there's a Christian organization out there helping people in need, our own people and also others.
Yes. Yes, that is what we do. We respond to disaster situations. We also give for development fundings, and we are also engaged in human rights and justice issues as well.
Now, I know that, obviously, I think I know the answer to it, but I want to ask you to help us understand, for those people out there who may not understand it, why are Christians in need in Iraq? Are they under siege?
Well, currently, the evidence is that Christians are under siege in Iraq. The Christian community in Iraq is one of the oldest Christian communities in the world. Almost 2,000 years, and Christianity itself is almost 2,000 years old. And they have, for the past several centuries, been a minority inside Iraq, and a minority among the minorities. And therefore, they have been among the most marginalized groups in Iraq and other Middle Eastern countries as well. So whenever any conflicts arise, they are, even if they are not directly targeted, they're among the first that experience deprivation and suffering, even if they are not specially targeted by any groups. In this instance in Iraq, the evidence suggests that they are being targeted by some of the extremist groups in Iraq.
Right, and I think one of them, of course, is ISIL or ISIS, whatever you want to call them. They've already announced that. Well, first of all, they're not just killing Christians, but they're killing a lot of Muslims. They're just killing everybody. You don't accept. They just killed 200 Syrian soldiers. You know, who are part of the Assad regime. It's really in Syria or in, neighboring Syria. They've really progressed, and now they've declared that any Christian who doesn't convert to Islam is going to be killed too. Although even if they were to convert to Islam, I'm not sure how safe they would be under ISIS given the violence that ISIS has taken against everybody, Christian Muslims, and Jews, if there were any out there. What kind of support do they need, and who are you working with in Iraq? Is there an organization at all in Iraq?
Yeah, we work with partners in Iraq, and you must, of course, I hope you'll forgive me for not giving the information as to who, because there is a great level of sensitivity. For reasons of security, we do not normally give up names and the information as to who our partners are. But we do work through groups that are in the Middle East, generally speaking, and some of them are in neighboring countries and some of them are in Iraq itself. And among the things we are providing are emergency relief, because the Christian community in Mosul were, and the surrounding areas were basically chased out of town. And many of them left with just clothes on their backs. They had nothing. Their valuables, their jewels, their money, all valuables more or less were confiscated or stolen. And many of them are escaping into Kurdistan. And they have literally nothing. They're starving. So at this time, we are concentrating on giving emergency relief so that they at least can survive. Within the Baptist Relief Alliance, have identified 500 families. It is believed that there are approximately 3,000 families that have been affected, more or less. But we have identified 500 families that we are helping, and we are not targeting only Christians,
right.
But in this instance, it is primarily Christians who are affected by this particular effort.
Right.
By ISIS.
And I know Arabs get a little upset when we talk about Christians and Muslims, but they don't seem to get upset when we talk about Muslims. They just seem to get upset whenever I talk about Christians. But you're going to help anybody in need. You're not going to turn anybody away if they're Muslim or Christian.
No, we don't. In fact, In different wars, in the wars in Lebanon, for instance, when they have been needed, currently we are assisting quite a bit of Syrian refugees that are in both Jordan and Lebanon. We have visited them, and we have, I can't see how or when we have done this, but we have visited them and we have given them supplies. And it doesn't matter if they are Muslims, it doesn't matter if they are Christians.
That's good.
We do give that assistance. We do not ask what religion they belong to.
That's good. Have you tried to raise funds for other areas in the Middle East, like in Gaza, for the Palestinians?
We are currently assisting the community in Gaza. The Gaza Baptist Church has helped 300 Christian families that were affected by the war in in Israel, between Israel and Hamas, and there's 1,000 Muslims that we are engaged
with. We lost you there for a second. I know you're probably on a cell phone, but I don't know if you could repeat
that. Am.
Sorry. Maybe you could repeat what you just said. Sorry. Thank you.
In Gaza, we are giving assistance to 300 Christian families and 1,000 Muslim families.
Wow.
In that case, yes, each family in Gaza needs about $60,000. So, my apologies, $60.
Wow.
Per family for 2 weeks. $60 per family.
So for them, it's like a lifetime, 2 weeks of subsistence. For us,
yes,
some people throw away $60 on junk.
Yes.
Here, so that's
we are talking about emergency relief. This is a matter of life and death.
Yeah.
Keeping people from starving, keeping people from dying, you know, and it's not just food, it's giving them blankets, it's giving them so that they can be warm, or giving them temporary shelter so that they can be housed somewhere. Church buildings have been made available to persons who have been displaced. We do have persons who have been displaced, and Christian church buildings in Gaza have been opened up to assist persons who have been displaced by the war. Christian families have opened their homes in Gaza to help persons who have been displaced by the war.
And the reason I ask this is because sometimes there's a perception, not in the Arab community, but non-Arabs. They think, well, Hamas is an Islamic organization, quote-unquote, and, you know, they don't support Christians. But do you have any problems working, I mean, in the Gaza? Does anybody try to prevent you from helping people, helping Muslims, helping Christians? Is there any resistance
One must understand that sometimes the problems are not with the leadership of organizations, but persons. And this happens in many countries. Many countries, for instance, have religious freedom laws on their books, but at the local level, you may find officials, petty officials at the local level, or individuals at the local level who may take action or instigate action against the Christians or Christian communities. So many times, what we have discovered is that oftentimes the national leadership is not necessarily the one that they the one instigating any persecution against religious groups. But sometimes the persons operating at the local level, whether individuals or petty local officials, they are the ones who sometimes instigate some of these incidents.
So you're helping, and I think this is important just to repeat it. I think you said 200 Christian families, 1,000 Muslim families in Gaza.
Christian families in Gaza and 1,000 Muslim families.
That's phenomenal. I mean, that's so good to hear that you're out there helping also. It makes me feel good as a Christian, you know, Arab, that my religion is active and doing what we're supposed to do. You know, we do very well in this country, and the one thing we can't say we don't want to do is donate money and help people. And I know they can support what the Baptist World Aid is doing, or the Baptist World Alliance, which, by the way, is based in Falls Church, Virginia. They can go to your website at bwanet.org. bwanet.org. If you want to support what the Baptist World Alliance is doing to help not just Christians, but obviously they're a Christian organization, but also Muslim families in Iraq and also in the Gaza Strip. Anything else, Aaron, about this effort that you think people should know about? I know we have your release up on our website at thearabdailynews.com so people can read it and see what you've done. You've raised about $20,000 so far.
Yes.
Do you have a goal? Is there a goal that you have?
The goal is to give assistance beyond two months, because it is believed that the assistance to the Christians in Iraq will stretch into a year or more. But let me say this to your listeners, and I do appreciate the opportunity here, is that we need to understand that however small the assistance is, it goes a far way. We may believe that I can't do much. There's not much I can do. But it would be amazing to see how much we can do. $60, as I said earlier, can assist one family in Gaza for 2 weeks. $90 can assist one family in Iraq for 3 weeks. So, you know, someone writing a check for $100, they are literally helping one family of five or six persons for 2 weeks or 3 weeks. And that is phenomenal. We have no idea how much, the little, even the very little we can do, how far it goes.
Yeah, I think that's phenomenal. And what is the money buying? What type of things? I think I know the answer to it, but it's good to just hear somebody explain to people what's being done to help needy people.
In this instance, it is food supplies. For instance, in Iraq, we are purchasing food supplies. We are also helping to provide emergency bedding and clothing. Remember the Iraqi Christians, they fled with nothing. So the $90 is not just for food. It is for clothing. It is for bedding. It is for things for females. So it's a simple, it's very simple things such as those things. You know, it is to also to provide someone to be able to be with them, a kind of a counsel. Sometimes much trauma is taking place. For instance, in Jordan, trauma counseling is one of the things being offered by Baptists in Jordan. For instance, the Syrian refugees in Jordan as well as in Lebanon. So whatever is given, it is used. It goes a far way. It does go a far way. $1,000 goes a very far way in these kinds of contexts.
That's phenomenal. My guest on the line is Aaron Henry. He is with the Baptist World Alliance. And we're talking about the plight of Christians and all those in need, including Muslims in Iraq and in the Gaza Strip. There are, I think, 500 families in Iraq that are getting some help, but you said that there are as many as 3,000, I think, or was it 2,000?
Yes, there are approximately 3,000, about 2,900 plus, but we rounded off at 3,000 families,
in
Christian
Iraq.
Families.
And then
that Christian families that are in need.
Right, and then also they're helping about 300 Christian families and 1,000 Muslim families in the Gaza Strip. And you could do a lot to support that effort. We have a little story on our website at thearabdailynews.com. The website for the Baptist World Aid or Baptist World Alliance is bwanet.org, bwanet.org. Aaron, listen, God bless you. Thank you so much for doing such a great thing to help people in need. It's just good to know that that there is a broad effort out there to support people of all faiths in areas where tragedy and suffering just seems to dominate the news these days. So it's a little light of hope. So thank you so much, Aaron.
And thank you for having me.
You're welcome. We'll talk to you again. All right, that was Aaron Henry with the Baptist World Aid, Baptist World Alliance. They're based in Falls Church, Virginia. You can go to our website at thearabdailynews.com, get information on them, their press release, the information of what they're doing. I added a little update on the webpage to point out that, you know, and it's just good to know that they're helping everybody, Christian and Muslim. It's too bad that we even say that. It should be Arab. You know, I wish that all the organizations raising money described themselves as Arab organizations. You know, because we don't say Arab the way we used to, you know, when I was growing up. It was, the idea of being Arab was much more powerful back in the 70s than it is today. And it's too bad because it was a great way to bring everybody together. It didn't matter what your religion was, Christian or Muslim. Today it's like each group has their own effort. They have their own conferences. They have their own charities. They have their own efforts and they have their own events. And that's why I tell you, I went last weekend to the Watney Festival because it wasn't about religion at all. It was about being Arab. And it was so cool. And I saw a lot of Christians, Muslims, and some Jews at the Watney Fest at Toyota Park. What a wonderful time. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about that. Right now, we're going to take a break. It is 4:31 here at the Talk of the Town Radio at WCEV, 1450 AM radio, and live on Yahala Voice Radio online at yahalavoice.com. We're here every Friday at 4 o'clock. I'm Ray Hanania. I'm going to take a break, and I'll be right back right after these messages.
Raise your voice with Yahala Voice.
الابتسام الجميلة تصنع المعجزات، ولكن من يصنع الابتسام الجميلة؟ Family Dental of Lincoln بإشراف الدكتور نضال عبيد الخبير في علاج وتجميل الأسنان. Family Dental of Lincoln، تلبيس، تبييض، تقويم، حشوة، روت كنال، زراعة أسنان وغيرها باستخدام أحدث التكنولوجيا الطبية. We accept all insurance kinds and public aid even for braces. Family Dental of Lincoln, 5206 North Lincoln Avenue in Chicago. Call and ask for Layla at 773-561-5106.
A beautiful smile can make a difference.
Do you have a medical alert device? When you press the button for help, can you talk through your pendant? With many companies, you still have to talk through the base unit, and that's not much help in an emergency. The answer, LifeRun Medical Alert Systems. Simply press the button and talk to a live operator right through the pendant. If your device can't do that, upgrade to LifeRun today. The system is free, the shipping is free, and the monitoring fee is less than a dollar a day. Call LifeRun now at 1-800-421-3366 or order online at LifeRun.com.
For years, the hearts of good people have broken for the suffering of the Syrians. More than 6 million displaced, nearly 3 million refugees, 80% are women. Children and elderly have faced growing hunger and deprivation. Syrians need food today. Your charity can help Syrians in need. Feed a Syrian family by donating a $50 food basket through Zakat Foundation of America at zakat.org or by calling 1-888-ZAKAT-US. Zakat Foundation of America, the leader in empowering lives through Zakat.
منتجات زياد من عائلتنا إلى عائلتكم. أفضل المنتجات الغذائية نوفرها لموائدكم. متطلبات المطبخ العربي نقدمها لكم من خلال ماركاتنا السلطان، كرافت، نستلي، بوب، ريفل بيكان، دانا. ستجدونها في كافة المحلات والبقاليات. للمزيد من المعلومات زوروا موقعنا زياد.com. منتجات زياد من عائلتنا إلى عائلتكم. عم تسمع يا هلا فويس من شيكاغو.
يا طريف الطول وراحه وشماله كل ما تلتقي بيعود وبيرحاله.
And welcome to Talk of the Town here at yahalavoice.com. I'm Ray Hanania. Our number is 708-321-1313 if you want to talk and share some information with us. Among the topics we're talking about, Hamas claims that it won the war in Gaza. A majority, and polls show that, you know, maybe they are right. I don't know, but I wonder if you feel, well, is this really a victory or a Pyrrhic victory? You know, did we just burn the house down, basically? But a recent survey shows that maybe Israelis don't disagree, that a majority of Israelis believe that the Tel Aviv regime did not manage to achieve a victory in its latest military aggression against the blockaded Gaza Strip. In a new poll conducted by Israel's Haaretz newspaper this past week on Wednesday, 54% of Israelis think the government, Netanyahu's government, the guy is, in my opinion, and it's about politics, because I'm going to tell you what, it's not about whether you're Israeli or Jewish. I'm not mad at that. And I don't think people should be mad at that, although some are. And I think it's wrong. But it's about politics, government politics. And Israel's government is wrong. The Netanyahu government is wrong. The Netanyahu government committed war crimes, I believe. and he should be prosecuted by the United Nations. But the Netanyahu government, according to the poll, failed to establish a clear victory in the more than 50 days of assaults on the people of Gaza. Something like 2,130 Palestinians, including 570 children, were killed in Gaza during those 50 days by Israeli soldiers. 570 children. That would not be acceptable in any other place on earth except in the Gaza by Israel. Americans wouldn't stand for that. Look how they're going crazy about what's happening, you know, in other countries. The Ukraine. I don't know. The Russians aren't massacring civilians or killing babies. They're not baby killers in the Ukraine. And yet we're going berserk about the Russians, the Soviets, whatever you want to call them, in the Ukraine. And yet it's a different attitude, you know, in Gaza. Now, I have my theory about that. I think it's because we Palestinians do a poor job of telling our story. We do a great job of talking to ourselves. We do a great job of, you know, preaching to the choir. We do a phenomenal job of speaking in Arabic to each other and not speaking to Americans. We do a great job, in fact, of confusing Americans and sending mixed messages. We do a great job of making ourselves look angry to Americans. We do a poor job of what really is an easy thing to do. Win the hearts and minds of Americans to our side. And we can do it. But it takes a different kind of leadership. It takes a leadership that instead of preaching emotion to people so they can protect their leadership, I guess, or their power base, they would come up with strategic ideas, not to so much to protest Gaza and what Israel is doing there, or to preach hatred against Jews and, you know, Israelis, because that's not what it's about, but to develop a strategy to talk to Americans in a way that Americans want to be spoken to. And if you can't do that, then don't say anything, because you're not helping. We're 9,000 miles away from Gaza. Nobody in this country is really helping the Palestinians in Gaza. Nobody. If you think I'm wrong, call 708-321-1313, extension 1. I challenge you to prove me wrong. But are we really helping the people in Gaza? No. We're making ourselves feel better. You know, we feel good when we go to a protest. We feel good when we write a check. You know, money's easy in this country. I mean, the guy that we just had, Aaron Henry from the Baptist World Alliance, said that all the people in Gaza need for 2 weeks to live is $60. $60 will buy you enough Whoppers for four people at Burger King. And we spend that all the time. You know, to get you a fast food poor, you know, meal, you know, unhealthy, by the way, meal. We'll spend $60 like a snap of our fingers. But it makes us feel good, I guess, right? We feel good. We protest, we yell and scream, we call Israel names, we get mad at them. It does make us feel good. But does that really help the Palestinians? No, it doesn't. The screaming, the emotion, the yelling, it doesn't help the Palestinians at all. It makes it worse, actually, because America controls the future of the Palestinians. It controls the future of the Middle East. And for the first time in our existence, we have a president who understands us better than any other presidents since Dwight Eisenhower, who was pro-Arab in the 1950s and forced Israel to withdraw when the British and French invaded Egypt, Sinai, and tried to take it over from the Egyptians. We stood up for the one time in our country's history, somebody stood up for principle in the White House and did the right thing. And the Israelis learned their lesson and said, you know what, we're never going to leave those people in the White House to do what they want again. and they put the White House in a headlock in Israel's lobby, which doesn't organize protests and feed emotion, but they really focus in with strategic communications on the American public. They put the Congress and the Senate in a headlock, and ever since then, we've been paying the Israelis billions. All those weapons and bombs they dropped on Gaza, most of them, the vast majority, were made right here in the United States and paid for by American taxpayers. So if you think the war is in Gaza as an Arab living in America, you're wrong. You're just wrong. And I know people get mad at me because they why are you complaining about the protests? Are you anti-Arab or anti-Muslim or anti-blah, blah, blah? I'm going to tell you what. I don't know. I'm hated by some Israelis. They don't like me. I've been here 40 years doing the same exact thing, saying the same exact message for 40 years. And doing something to educate Americans. And I'm really proud of what I've done. I wish I could have done more. I'm just saddened that there's so few people doing the same thing outside of Yahalla Voice, which is so effective. I talk to Americans all the time who tune into this station and say that they've never heard the Arab viewpoint expressed so articulately, not just by me, but by other people like Rush Darwish, who has a show on Wednesdays at 4:30 with my buddy Naperville Bob. A pro-Israeli activist who we converted like that, Khalid. We grabbed Bob. We stuck our hand through the microphone, grabbed him, pulled him through and said, Bob, wake up. Wake up from your slumber. It was like that movie with the guys that are, I can't even remember, with Keanu Reeves, his four-part sci-fi series. You remember, you know what movie I'm talking about? The sci-fi movie with Keanu Reeves. They're controlled by the computers. That is the story of the Palestinians, Americans, and Israelis. And maybe somebody out there will call in and remind me what that show is. But we can make a difference. And here it is. The Israelis are not happy. They don't believe that they won. They killed so many Palestinians, 2,130 Palestinians, including 570 children. And I think we're missing an opportunity to impact Americans by failing to focus on those 570 children who were murdered by Israeli soldiers using American weapons and tax dollars, and we're not getting our message across because we want to be angry about it. No, we don't want to yell and scream at Americans. We don't want to grab them by the collar like I did to Naperville Bob. Bob, wake up. No, you don't want to do that. You want to go to Americans. You want to explain to them that Palestinians are good people, that we're peaceful. We want peace. We want a state. We want independence. We want sovereignty. We want the suffering to end. We want a compromise if the Israelis would really do it. And we could talk to Americans and tell them 570 children have died. Human shields? Come on. All 570 children? That doesn't include the 1,500, you know, other non-children that were killed. Some 11,000 Palestinians were wounded. And I think only 50. Well, yeah, what is it? No, no, no. That's called good. No prize for you. Come on, you guys are really hot when I get off the show. You guys, I listen to you guys all the time. You're on top of it like that. Come on. I just saw it on TV. I'm getting old. The Matrix. All right. Yeah, that's it. Matrix 1, 2, and 3. And I'll tell you. All right. You get to tell people that you're my friend, which will cost you huge numbers of followers if you say that on Facebook. You're going to lose them all. The Matrix, that is the story of Palestine, Israel, and America. We are in a slumber. The American people are sleeping, and a small group of Palestinian activists, led by Keanu Reeves, are trying to wake them up, while the big, brutal computer system, controlled by the Israelis, are trying to put us back to sleep and take over everything. So That's what that is. Our number here is 708-321-1313, extension 1, if you want to call in. Another bit of news. The man is Imad Karakra, 49. He was charged with a felony today. Several felony counts of disorderly conduct and aggravated fleeing. Now, I don't know what... That sounds like they're exaggerating this a little bit. Come on. I think it's because he's Arab and he was waving an ISIS flag. The flag of ISIL, if you want to call it, or ISIS. I don't know. They can't decide on a name. It's the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant, or the Islamic State of Iraq and the Shem, Syria. He was waving the flag from his car as he was driving around Chicago on Wednesday, and the police claim, and I'm not sure I totally believe it, they claim that Imad, who's only 49 years old, threatened police with a bomb. Orally, verbally, he said it. There was no bomb. And this disorderly conduct and aggravated fleeing. What's aggravated fleeing? That means he ran away in a way that was insulting to the eyes of the police. They're going, oh God, he's running away in a terrible way. It's offensive to me to watch him run away. That's aggravated fleeing. That's ridiculous. I've never heard of that. And this is another one. I don't understand this. And I don't know why the media doesn't look into this. He has one misdemeanor count of driving on, quote, a never-issued license, close quote. That's like when the Israelis issue a press release when they kill a Palestinian prisoner. They say the prisoner was killed with a non-lethal weapon. Right. What does that mean? The Israelis are like masters of, words and stuff. You can learn stuff by reading their stuff. They killed, and they literally issued, this is a real press release they issued about 6 years ago, a Palestinian prisoner was killed, and the Israelis said, he died as a result of a non-lethal weapon. Non-lethal means not killed. He was killed. So how do you kill somebody with a killable weapon? That makes absolutely no sense. But Americans who read the press release or heard the press release said, oh, okay, he was killed, but it was non-lethal. So I guess he's not really killed. All right, we'll put that away and not listen to it. That's masters of wordsmithing. They understand how to do that. They know how to communicate better than anybody. And I don't know why Arabs don't communicate better. But someone called police in Chicago after seeing a suspicious person, Arab, right? Let's, in parentheses, they mean Arab. Khalid looks suspicious. I don't know. I look suspicious. I definitely look suspicious, Khalid. I'm Puerto Rican. He was driving a silver Pontiac. Okay, I could see an Arab dude driving a silver Pontiac. Southbound on Kedzie Avenue. An American car. And he was, that's the other thing. Why didn't they say, this was an Arab who loves America, and he was driving an American-made car, not one of those foreign ones. He was driving south on Kedzie Avenue Wednesday morning around 9 o'clock at 77th in Kedzie, but he had an ISIS flag waving out the window. Now, I didn't know what an ISIS flag looked like until I read the story. I had to look it up on the internet, and it's a black flag, and it has a coat of arms. There's a coat of arms that goes with it too, but it's a black flag, and it has the Tawheed written across the top, and in a circle below, it says in Arabic, Muhammad is the messenger of God. The words are a little jumbled on the flag, but, that's the point. It looks like it's drawn with paint. It's not really like a sophisticated flag. Yeah, right. It's handmade, like out on the street. Yeah, like, these guys are nuts. And, they're rappers. They're British rappers. That's why they're so crazy. I don't know if you've ever listened, Khalid, to British rappers. They're crazy, okay? So these guys are nuts, and they believe the guy who killed that one guy, James Foley, that he was a British citizen who went to Syria and Iraq, and he was involved in killing the guy. And it's just terrible that they would do that. His career must have collapsed, and he decided to become mean. Terrible. But so the police saw a suspicious person driving a silver Pontiac with the flag, and they pulled him over. You know that he didn't do anything wrong, right? You know that he's driving down Kedzie in his Pontiac, an American-made Pontiac, southbound on Kedzie Avenue at 9:18 a.m. in the morning and at 77th and Kedzie, and has his black flag out of the window, and the police officer's going, because I cannot recognize an ISIS flag. How is some cop, some Irish cop or Italian cop, and there are five Arab cops in all of Chicago. There are five of them. We have five police officers in the Chicago Police Department. Seven. There's not a lot. Yeah, you know, like more than half. I'm telling you. I know three of them. I know about five. You know that this police officer had no idea what that black flag stood for. He just saw the Arabic writing and figured, pull this dude over. Profiling. You know how they just pull people over? They see, oh, African American, pull him over, easy ticket. Arab, pull him over, easy ticket. And they pulled this guy over driving the Pontiac southbound on 77th and Kedzie. And I think that's where they must have exchanged words. And I bet the guy got angry. He says, what are you pulling me over for? And he probably had an accent and he was calling the police officer all kinds of names. So they arrested him with these ridiculous charges. Felony counts. Now, a felony count is going to get this guy jail time, you know, because felony, if he's convicted, disorderly conduct and aggravated fleeing and misdemeanor count of driving on a never-issued license. Probably the two most ridiculous charges I have ever heard. But I was really kind of set off this morning when I was listening to David Cameron, the British Prime Minister, talk about how they've raised the terror level in Britain to its highest level. He said they raised the terror level in Britain to the highest level because of what he said was poisonous ideology of Islamic extremism. Those were his words. And then he went out of his way to say that the terrorism we see today in Syria and Iraq had nothing to do. I mean, it's almost like he was, why did he even bring it up? But he had to say it, and that's what got me going. Today's violence and terrorism has nothing to do with what George Bush did in 2003 when he invaded Iraq illegally in violation of international law to find weapons of mass destruction. Kind of like the police officer seeing the Arab drive in a Pontiac. They see the Arabs in Iraq and go, wow, let's grab them. We'll just say he has weapons of mass destruction on him, which wasn't even true. We knew he didn't because we gave Saddam Hussein all the weapons he had. We armed Saddam Hussein. He was our guy in the 1980s and 1990s, or the 1980s, fighting against Iran when we needed somebody to fight against Iran. Well, that's why they said, wait a minute. I know we gave him, he probably sold them to make money. But there was none. They invaded, and it's just horrible. They totally destroyed the Middle East. They turned Iraq and Syria upside down. They created havoc in Iraq with this war in 2003, and we're paying for it today. It's like doing something in government and not paying for it and then taxing us 20 years later. We are suffering now 11 years later. Because of what happened in Iraq, we are suffering. We didn't win the war. They left. They claimed that we won the war, but we didn't win the war. We lost the war. We did lose it because they failed to implement democracy. There's no democracy in Iraq. Iraq is a disaster area that we helped create, and it really is kind of a shame. Anyway, we got a few more minutes here. Next week, I got a great guest. And normally I like to talk about Arab Americans politics, and I have two people that I'll be booking later on. One is Sam Rasool. He's a delegate. He's at a family reunion this week here in Chicago. And he's from Virginia. He's a delegate, I think, in the 11th Congressional District out there in Virginia. So we're going to talk to him about the Arabs in Virginia and Washington. And there's William Sailton, who writes for Slate, who did a great column on the Arab Americans of New Hampshire, that there's a big population of Arab Americans in New Hampshire, and the last two governors, women governors, are Arab. The current governor and the former governor, they're actually American who are married to Arabs. So they got like last names that are Arab last names. Jean Shaheen, her husband is Lebanese. She's now, I think, a senator in New Hampshire, and she's in a big fight. So we're going to try to reach out to him next week and have him understand the history of American-Arab activism in New Hampshire, because I think it's fascinating when we get more involved in politics. I know the Arab American Democratic Club, I think coming up soon, or maybe it's in October, they have a big dinner where they're going to have some elected officials. I'll try and maybe we'll reach out to Khaled Al-Khatib, who's the head of the Arab American Democratic Club, get him to kind of talk about political activism here in Illinois. Remember, listen, you can follow us here at yahalavoice.com. Our website is yahalavoice.com. Very easy to find. You can listen to us online on your computer. And I hope you listen to us even when the show's not on, because they got great music. Our website is yahala.voice.7 on Facebook, our Facebook page. You can look us up, Yahala Voice, and friend us and like us there, and get information on all the different programs that they have here at Yahala Voice that covers the entire gamut of Arabs in America, and also things that Americans need to know, because we spend 80% of our time as Americans focused on the Middle East. So you need Americans to focus more on sources of information about the Middle East from Middle Eastern people. I think that only makes sense, right? It would seem so. You can look me up on Facebook, RG Hanania, and friend me there. The Jerusalem Post just did a story about, it was a front page story, I think, in their Sunday section, about the fact that I'm Palestinian, my wife is Jewish, and I got a couple of people that were really angry. Like, it's a big shock. Oh no, my wife's Jewish. My son's Jewish too. It's 2-1. It's not a marriage. It's an occupation. But what am I going to do? But, so they did a story about it. That's in this week's Jerusalem Post. And, just because we disagree about politics doesn't mean we can't get along. I don't hate Jews. I don't hate Muslims. I don't hate Christians. I think we can all get together. We can be angry and we can dislike government policy and we can do something about it. If we're smart, set aside the emotion, use strategic communications, we can win. As Palestinians, we can make a difference. Just means being smart. It means doing something the right way. We do everything else smart in this country except when it comes to our culture. Seems we do it backwards, but we can build great businesses. As soon as we bring up the fact we're Arab, it seems like all of a sudden we're in trouble. Anyway, I want to thank you for joining us and listening. I appreciate it. I want to thank Khaled for running the board. And I want to thank everybody here at Yahala Voice. Remember, go to my website at thearabdailynews.com. You can read the column I wrote on David Cameron. You can read some of our news stories, and you can keep up with what's happening in the American Arab community. I'm Ray Hanania. I will see you next Friday at 4 o'clock Central Time right here at Yahala Voice, WCEV 1450 AM radio. We'll talk to you later. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.